What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Glenn, I need a shot.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the Blonde Tip Bomber, as well as T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest for you. And the latest is, this is 5 o'clock fire, and it is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And we are live here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Let me hear you, folks. Let me hear you. Let the people... There you go, live at Buffalo Wild Wings. I see a lot of our Katie people. You can still make your way on out here. The Bud Light girls are out here. See, to just hook somebody up with a nice Bud Light. My man right here had one down the pipe. St. Louis in the house. I ain't gonna hold that against you. He had one down the pipe. So no, man, it's a good time. I see Andrew in the building. He's talking to my mom. Just don't buy her shots. But it'll be a good time. I will take that shot though. A little bit of tequila, a little bit later.
What if Teresa wants to turn up a little bit, man?
I'm gonna tell you. A couple of times ago, she was out here. I saw my mom taking some shots at an event we was at, and I didn't know who the hell that was.
That's awesome.
I said, hey, man, why don't you slow down a little bit there, champ?
Hey, she's out of town, buddy.
Oh, man. Tell you, man, we got over to the Watson's house. I walked in there. She was two shots in. I said, the hell's going on?
Go and let your hair down, Teresa.
Happened to that lady that was in the choir teaching Sunday school. She had her taking shots of tequila.
Go and let your hair down, mama.
You don't know my social calendar. Anyway.
Party.
That's right. Trust Dusty.
There you go. Come on out. Have a good time. You still got a chance to win an autographed game-sized helmet. From C.J. Stroud. That can happen coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. We are in Katy, Buffalo Wild Wings Park Row location. Come on out and have a good time. All right, Clint, the injury report is out. Many of you just maybe getting off work, get in your car at 5 o'clock. I'll give you the ones that make that are the headlines here. Azeez Alshire questionable in this game with the knee. If he doesn't play, I'll be shocked off my ass. Joe Mixon, this one's weird. He just jumped up on the injury report on Tuesday. He was limited in practice on Wednesday. Jumped on the injury report on Wednesday with an ankle. Nothing wrong with him at all on Tuesday. Today, he did not practice at all. So that's one to watch. He is listed as questionable with an ankle issue. There is Tegan Quatoriano. This one matters a little bit because of the injury to Kate Stover. He's questionable. And then Robert Woods, the one that is most concerning, has not practiced all week long with the hip issue. He is listed as questionable. Shaq Mason has no designation. And Clint, I still don't think that means he's going to play. As we've seen throughout the week, even the days that he has practiced, Clint, their starting five of the offensive line has been Tunzel, Titus Howard, Patterson, and it has been Juice Scruggs in at right guard with Blake Fisher, the rookie, out at tackle. So it has not been Shaq Mason, even though he's been healthy enough to practice. So it looks like that's going to be the starting five, Clint, which I agree with.
Yeah, look, I don't have any problem with it at all. That's exactly how I would start it, based off of one thing, and that is the way that they ran the football in the second half last week. In terms of, if you factor in the opponent along with what the product that we saw, I think that was the most impressive run game that we've seen. Not to mention it was at the end of the game when everybody that was watching the game, along with every Chargers player and coach, knew exactly what the Texans were going to try to do, and that was take the air out of the football and just chew the clock. And they were able to do it to the tune of Joe Mixon getting over 100 yards and to the tune of Joe Mixon finishing in the end zone and really stretching that lead out and ultimately putting the Chargers to bed. And so, look, that was impressive. And if that got done with Juice Scruggs, the right guard position, then dang it, that's how I would trust this week's offensive line. Now, if anything happens, if Shaq Mason goes through a week of practice and everything is good to go, you get in a game, and for whatever reason, Juice Scruggs is struggling, whether it's with the communication up front or it's physically struggling, because he is one that was, again, as you mentioned, has been on this injury report as well, then I don't hesitate to go to Shaq Mason if I need to. But I start out riding Juice Scruggs until he gives me a reason not to.
Yeah, I'm with that as well. One thing I do want to pass along before I get to the Chiefs story in terms of injury, Clint, is I think this is big too, right? We've talked about it. Robert Woods could be in or out. We know Deontay Johnson is gone. One person that has been on the injury list that's not on it at all is John Metchie. So John Metchie, who had been on with the shoulder, had missed a game. They are going to need John Metchie, as you've talked about, Clint. He looks like he is fully healthy, no issue. I mean, you know, as fully healthy as you can be right now to not be on the injury list. It looks like the shoulder is not a concern, and he is going to be able to go. And that is something that they desperately need right now, Clint.
Yeah, they absolutely need it. There's no question about it. Another monster opportunity for John Metchie. Well, I mean, look, I don't mean that negatively. I just mean
he's had a few.
It just, like, if you look at the way that John Metchie has been treated and the opportunities that have come his way, he's set up to have a monster day at some point. I mean, this isn't a guy that didn't get any run with the ones all training camp, and he was treated like a fifth or sixth wide receiver, and he didn't really have time to create chemistry with the quarterback. He didn't get a lot of reps in the offense. This is a guy that's been treated like a starter from jump. This is a guy that's been in the huddle with C.J. Stroud from jump. And so there's no – I mean, this guy is ready to play. There's no doubt about it. I think he's slowly climbing. He's showing improvement every week. I think last week was a step back given the fumble and the drop. I think those were two of his targets that went the wrong direction. But everything, the way they've treated him, the way he's worked, the way he's kind of kept just chopping wood, everything points towards this opportunity once again when the stage is the biggest and the lights are the brightest. This opportunity, it's all primed and set up for John Metchie to have a big day, man. Yep. At some point in time, the kid's going to break through. I hope it's this week. It would be phenomenal timing, but he is damn sure getting plenty of opportunity, that's for sure.
He had a big game against the Lions. He's had they'd be useful to have one of those type nights for the Texans for him if he can play that way. On the Chiefs side of things, Clint, the story there is they have one player listed as questionable. That's Jalen Watson. He has been on the IR for 11 weeks. He is their number two corner, a big, big part of their team. It's been reported from most NFL folks that he is going to make his return off of IR after 11 weeks. So it's big that he's there. Mecole Hardman, who has been their punt returner, a guy that they felt was closer to coming back than Jalen Watson initially, he is listed as doubtful with a knee issue. He had been their punt returner. Sometimes they use him in offensive sets as well. He was their punt returner. He looks to be doubtful in this game. So that's kind of the story there from the Chiefs standpoint. But everybody else seems to be in a good spot to be able to play on Sunday.
Clock fire.
Yes, Travis Kelce's not on the injury report. Those are scored at home. All right, Clint, the Houston Rockets, the number two seed in the Western Conference, had another big game last night, and they beat the Nuggets, and they win 128-108 in Denver. And, hey, Tyler, what was it at, 23.5 yesterday with Jalen Green? Is that what?
Yes, sir. Money.
And listen, man, I said, hey, man, I don't know. Jalen can be really inconsistent. He had 42 his last time out. I said, I don't know. And Jalen, I think Jalen had hit 23. I mean, well into the third quarter. I looked up, he had 27. And then it was about 8 minutes left in the third. So I said, well, Tyler went ahead and won that thing.
Gotta love it.
And he was really, really good again. The best player on the floor. He embarrassed the hell out of some kid and his family when he dunked on his ass in the middle of the lane. Listen. What I got to say is the maturity of this team, Clint, is yes. The Joker, the MVP of the league, Jokic, he was out of the game. Sometimes this team in the past, when certain guys weren't there, they've kind of dropped, and you don't see the same intensity. Nope. They said, man, we out here to whoop everybody's ass. Whether Jokic is out here or not, they took control of that game. That game was never a game. Really, to be honest with you, there was never at any point after the first quarter the Rockets didn't feel like they were in control. That is a next step to me, Clint, is they continued to be mature enough to play in that game, even though Jokic wasn't in it.
Well, I think the maturing process is the story for this team, yep. Right? You're up 20 at a half. You finish winning the game by 20, roughly. That's a huge plus. The Jalen Green thing is fascinating, man, because clearly the dude's got superstar power, right? He's got superstar potential. And it's just a matter of can he do it consistent enough to actually be a superstar. And so, boy, the last couple of games, it damn sure feels like he is.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I got to say right now, for Rockets fans, cherish this time. This right now is the time where it is most fun to be a fan of your sports team. Because right now, Clint, we may not see after this season that every one of these games they care about, they want to play.
Right.
The Rockets are in a stage where they want to win every game. They care to win every game. They're excited to play every game. They've got so much to prove that they want to come out and play their best. Yep. Once you start to get to a point where, you know, hey, man, only thing that really matters is your postseason, you know, you're just trying to get to that point. No, this is the thing of you're in the middle of watching them build and grow, and they care every night.
Yeah. Well,
like, you know, every team in the NBA, even the best ones, don't care to win every night. The Rockets are in a space where they give a rip to win every night.
When you're creating an identity, you got to do that. When you're learning how to win, you got to do that. Now, you got to earn the right to take games off. You got to earn the right to take regular season games lightly, and they just ain't quite there yet. I love the way M.A. Doka is running things right now. I love the path the Rockets are on right now. They're fun to watch. I'm motivated to go home and turn my TV on and watch the Rockets every single night. So, I'm with you. It is a stage where you don't have to watch them and go, man, they're load managing X, Y, and Z, and so probably not going to play tonight.
There's just a small, like, you think of who are the best teams, right? The Celtics, they don't care to win every night because for them it's about, all right, when we get to the playoffs now, that's it. You know, OKC and the Rockets are in that place where I think the Rockets want to win as many games as they care about how many games they win. So cherish these moments right now as a Rockets fan as they continue to roll through. They're beating all kinds of contenders in the West. They've just beat the Grizzlies twice here lately, and then they go after the Nuggets.
Let's go, Rocket.
5 o'clock fire.
Oh, thanks, Maldi. Speaking of Martin Maldonado, Clint, the Cubs and outfielder Kyle Tucker, Clint, have agreed on a contract, $16.5 million. For a minute there, I thought Kyle might get all that money. But they avoid arbitration, and they get $16.5 million. Clint, I may be wrong. I may be dead wrong here. And really, for this baseball season and for you guys, who I care about, I hope I am, this one to me feels like the one they're going to miss. Kyle Tucker, to me, in this season, like, we've seen them lose a lot of guys over the years, and they've been able to keep it going, and after maybe a month or two, you don't even really notice it. I feel like Kyle Tucker, Clint, is going to be one that they're going to miss in the middle of that order. We'll see what they do to replace him. I really feel strongly about that right now because their outfield reads Chaz McCormick, Jake Myers, and I think Dubon. But Kyle Tucker, that's one that I will definitely be watching to see what he does this year with the Cubs, and he might be the first one that they actually miss.
Well, you got to define miss, right? I mean, if he goes out there and has a monster season, and then Chaz McCormick is middle of the road Chaz McCormick, he's not out of his gourd Chaz McCormick like we saw a couple years ago, then yeah, you're going to look back and say, boy, it'd be nice to have that guy that's healthy and swinging it the way he is. But the truth of the matter is, The Astros, whether you're looking at playoff Tucker or you're looking at injured Tucker last year, they won a lot of baseball games without Kyle Tucker. So hopefully that holds true, and we're not worrying about missing Kyle Tucker because we're winning games.
Yeah, hopefully not. But he'll be in Chicago, and that's one to keep an eye out. Tyler, are you going to be watching Kyle Tucker? Are you one that's keeping tabs on what Kyle Tucker is doing this year?
I mean, I'm sure I will, like, naturally. I'm sure I don't think I'll
I'm never one to really like just go seek it out, but yeah. I'm sure naturally I'll be looking at his slash numbers and stuff like that, see what, you know, the Astros potentially missed out on.
I'm going to minimize this as much as I can because I obviously love Kyle Tucker when he's raking. Don't get me wrong, when he's in an Astros uniform.
You're thinking of that postseason Kyle Tucker?
Well, no, I mean, it's not even, I don't even need to, like, obviously that's part of it, but like, I just don't, I've never been a huge, you know, Kyle Tucker guy. Look, obviously he's a great player. I don't want to minimize his ability by any means. But I just have never, and this is probably wrong and unfair, I've never looked at Kyle Tucker and been like, yeah, man, I don't know what the Stros going to do without that dude. You know, I did that with Correa. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I did that with Correa.
You're just saying you personally.
Yeah, personally. Yeah, yeah. I did that when Verlander left. I did that when Cole left. I mean, it was just, you know, it's one of those where you really wonder what this team is going to look like without X, Y, and Z. I personally have never put Tucker in that category for me. I mean, maybe it's just a favorite player category. Maybe, but I mean, because clearly the bat is an absolute game changer. But I think Christian Walker could have just as much of an impact as Kyle Tucker has ever had on an Astros season.
You're one, and I could see it, but you're one that doesn't think if the Astros struggle and don't get to the areas that we are accustomed to seeing them get to, like at the very least match what they did last year, you don't think it's going to be because, boy, they didn't have Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, they did it without him for the most part last year. Yeah, so I mean, like I think there's several things. Like I don't look at major league players in a spot where it's like, oh man, these guys in the outfield are making an absolute difference. I mean, unless you're just a ridiculous outfielder that's got ridiculous speed or some monster arm that guys are afraid to run on, then I guess I can understand that. But I typically minimize like the defensive stats, the advanced stats of Jake Myers and his range and all that. Like I know that's important, but if you lead with that, then he's not my guy, right? I mean, he's not my guy. So. I minimize the defense from Kyle Tucker. From a leadership, like alpha leadership perspective, I think he was bringing zero to the table. Again, that's 30,000 foot view outside the building. I have no clue, but I feel like that.
He's a loner.
And then when you look at it, I mean, injured a lot of the time, not good in the playoff for multiple years. It's like, what are you really going to miss? I know the beginning of last season was unbelievable, and if you had that guy for 2 or 3 years, yeah, you'd miss that. If he turns into that consistently and stays healthy, then hell yeah, we're going to miss him. But I don't know. Tuck has just never been a guy to me that's irreplaceable.
All right. As we'll be on the lookout with the Cubs to see what Kyle Tucker does, but let's get back to where this focus is right now in this city, and that is the Houston Texans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs coming up on Saturday, and it's an interesting thing. Can the Texans get by with just really, really having big, big games from Nico Collins and Joe Mixon? Can they get by, or do they need others to come to the party for them to win? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off Park Row and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Can't hear you, Ron.
There we go. Welcome back in as we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, here in Katy. Let me hear the folks out here. Let me hear you. There it is. We got a nice little crowd out here, and you can continue to make your way out here as we'll be here till 6 o'clock. TV's all over the place. Good food, good drinks, good people out here. I need my mom to calm down telling people old childhood stories right now.
Teresa, you do whatever the hell you want.
Hey, man. Hey, Tyler, man.
Hell, you think you are giving your mother orders?
No, I am. I'd like for her to slow down.
Lucky we already did the turd list.
All right. Yeah, that's right. She might end up on it.
No, all right.
But come on out. Coming up after this segment, somebody will win the C.J. Stroud signed helmet. We'll do that as soon as this segment ends. If you're in the building, you've not put your name in the raffle box, you might want to do so. Everybody, hey, give our Bud Light girls a hand. They've been helping.
Yeah,
hell yeah. No.
Atta girls.
I mean, that feels like Tyler's here, the way that he
I wish.
Tyler in the background. Hell yeah, girl.
It's that a girl is that gets me.
You girls. Hear a lot of
that a boy. That a girls is what you
out there working so hard.
All right, this was interesting to me because we kind of talked about this a little bit, Clinton. I kind of want to just go right where you were is. We're looking at it. You're like, do they have enough? Do the Texans have enough in this game? Your thought is to hell with the do they have enough? They just need to do whatever they can to just absolutely almost force feed it to the guys they need to get it to, and especially in the passing game with Nico Collins.
Yeah, look, the common sense approach here is, I mean, whether you're looking back at what these guys have done well and when they've done their best work, or you're just looking at what you have available and going, okay, what can I do here, right? I mean, any way you slice this, I have a hard time arriving anywhere other than they've got to find creative ways to get Nico Collins the football. Let's be honest. The best work that the Texans have done offensively in the last two seasons since CJ and Nico and Bobby Slowick have all been together, the best work that they've done, the most dangerous this offense has ever been was when there was a slew of people hurt and it was about Nico Collins. They were moving him around, putting him in the backfield, running swing screens. They were moving him all over the place, and the defense wasn't able to zone in on just him, right? They had so many weapons early on, you could just couch him over here to the left, to the boundary, and defenses can take him away. And if they do that, boom, you got Diggs, you got Tank, you got Dalton Schultz, you got a run game, you got all these other pieces. Those guys are injured. Whether they're injured or they're ineffective, either way it goes, you, right now you've got Nico Collins, C.J. Stroud, and Joe Mixon. And I think there's just – in fact, I'll be honest with you, based on what we've seen this year, I'm more excited and feel like the Texans have a better chance to produce offensively and put points on the board when the options are limited. Like, Bobby Slowick's best work has been when, hey, man, I got to get this one guy. I got to move this one guy around. I got to do, you know, I got to get this guy touches in all at all different levels of the field instead of, well, let me sit back. Well, I got Diggs over here. Let me make sure I got enough balls to go around to everybody. And let me, fair, foul, or indifferent, that was not Bobby's strong suit. And so when I look at this, it's more about going into it, what's the game plan with Nico Collins? And how do we get him touches, not just the missile screen out, rocket screen, whatever you want to call it, outside at the wide receiver spot, but some of the stuff moving him around, the jet sweep motion that we saw Tank Dell and Xavier Hutchinson do. How about we try Nico Collins with a little bit of that? And how about put him in the backfield and running some different swing screens and stuff that we've seen Bobby do before? To me, that's where it all starts. And then number two, is it John Metchie or is it Dalton Schultz? Which one's going to step up outside of the run game to help C.J. Stroud? One of those two has to be a difference maker in this ballgame.
So here's Guy Gene here, because I want you to clarify exactly what you mean here with this, because here's Guy Gene on YouTube and Twitch saying, find a way to force the ball to Nico Collins even if he's doubled or triple teamed. I see Clint put a fat bet on Stroud interceptions. I don't think you're saying just be stupid and force things. You're talking about this is dependent on Bobby, CJ, and everybody, but especially designing ways to put him in a space that he does have advantages,
look,
right?
I mean, Guy Gene, here's the deal. You don't see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play without Mike Evans getting touches. One way or another, they're going to find a way to get him the football. You don't watch the Minnesota Vikings play, and now Justin Jefferson may not have 10 catches, but they're damn sure throwing in his direction. They're
screens,
moving him around.
Whatever.
In fact, we saw the Minnesota game. Who was it they were beating on before the Detroit game? And Kevin O'Connell said, hey, the first time we played Green Bay, I think it was, the first time we played Green Bay, we left Justin Jefferson stagnant. And they were able to zero in on him. This game, we're going to move him around, and they can't zero in on him. They can't double him. They can't triple him. They can't play match on him unless they play man. And what happened in the first half? I think Justin Jefferson had like 7 targets, right? Now he had a couple of drops to go along with it. But, no, of course I'm not talking about forcing the football. I don't want him to force the football at all. I mean, the truth of the matter is if Bobby Slowick – I don't think when Bobby Slowick and Nico Collins were doing their best work last year when they were humming – I don't think he ever forced the ball to Nico Collins.
I think you're meaning is what we saw last week. We knew that the Chargers in the passing game said to themselves, we don't want to let Nico Collins beat us. But there were many times they were he moved them around
right.
and put themselves and put them in good situations and matchups for Nico to exploit. And I think that's
look when it's all said and done, if you listen to this show and we've ever talked ball, that you know damn good and well I ain't talking about forcing. Hell, I don't like when they force the ball and do low percentage things or take a bunch of risk with the football when it works. I didn't like the jump ball that Nico Collins caught against the Indianapolis Colts in the first or second game of the season, whatever that was. Everybody else loved it. Hey, that was a poor decision. There was two defenders around that guy. He just went up and made the tackle. So, of course, I'm not talking about forcing it to anybody. No. The only way that the quarterback ends up having to force it to Nico to get him the targets and touches is if you leave him stagnant. That's my whole point here is that you don't. You move him around. You make sure he's the motion guy. Where Tank and Diggs were the motion guys early on, you make sure he's the motion guy, right? And you align him in different places, whether it's slot or bunches or in the backfield or different places so that they can't get a bead on exactly where he's at. To be honest with you, I'm talking about exactly the opposite of what the texter's talking about there in a sense of the only way you don't force the football to him is if your offensive coordinator gets creative and creates opportunities to get him easy touches.
And to me, off of that is because I do think Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs are going to try their best to take Nico away.
Sure, they should.
And then you'll have to find other ways to get other guys involved and play off of that and play off of them trying to take that and absolutely hurt them when they're trying to do that.
Well, before last week, teams had done a good job. However they were doing it, they did a good job of zeroing in on Nico Collins.
Dolphins, and Jalen Ramsey, all that. Yep.
Keeping his numbers down to a minimum. Now, last week was a different animal. They were able to eat a little bit. That he was able to eat against the Tennessee Titans early on. So hopefully that's a thing of the past. But when it's all said and done, again, this is a hill I'm going to die on. We have injuries. There's no excuse why this offense shouldn't be humming and hitting on all cylinders on Saturday beyond the Kansas City Chiefs defense being that damn good. But there's no injury talk or we don't have this guy or we don't have that guy or we can't. We've seen this team. We've seen a lesser Texans team because they're better this year than they were last year. We've seen a lesser Texans team absolutely do work and put up points. There's no reason.
Talk about last year.
Yeah, last year. There's no reason we shouldn't see that.
How many targets? How many targets for you in this game for Nico? In the last game, he was 7 catches, 122 yards, 1 touchdown on 8 targets. How many different ways or how many touches are you trying to get him in this game?
He needs 5 catches and a half. I mean, now he may end up with 7, but it's a first half game for me for Nico Collins. Like you can't. Once the score and situation start dictating how the game goes, I mean, look, if you're up 10 points at any point in the third or early fourth, Nico shouldn't see the ball again unless it's in a speed sweep situation. But, I just think that you've got to find a way early for him to really get started, get your best player touches. Don't let their defense take your best weapon away from you.
You get
because
him early.
You're not moving him.
You get him touches early.
That's
you get
it.
First drive.
That's it. Now, once you get to playing the game and you get the run game going, then all of a sudden now they got to forget about Nico. They got to come down here and they got to try to stop this run game. Now we can play counterpunch. But out of the gate, the game plan going in absolutely has to be Nico Collins. I mean, and I'm talking about from alignment, like play creation and alignment and your motions that you use have to be Nico heavy to keep Spags in this defense from being able to really zone in on him.
All right, somebody's about to win a C.J. Stroud autograph helmet. And as we continue live here on the road, Buffalo Wild Wings here in Katy, we'll get to T-Mill's best bets. And Bobby Slowick maybe kind of slipped out what could be a new wrinkle for the Texans. We'll let you hear what he had to say and discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off Park Row in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. Congratulations to Maria, our latest winner. She takes home the CJ Stroud autographed helmet.
Maria.
She wins that. Yeah, congratulations to Maria. That's somebody's mother, Tyler. Calm down.
That's just a Brooks and Dunn song, Ron. Calm down.
I felt like he was getting a little greasy.
That is a good Brooks and Dunn song.
Classic.
A good one.
That Brooks and Dong song. Brooks and Dong. That
Brooks and Dong song.
That Brooks, maybe oh, I need to calm down. That Brooks and Dunn song can have two meanings, Tyler. But no, congratulations to Maria. And thank everybody. Give yourselves a hand. Thank everybody for coming out, having a good time. A man came to me and said, hey, Ron, you need a plumber, man. I'll hold you down, baby. I'll get anything out them toilets out here. We're having a good time out here. I do want to thank everybody who decided to come out and hang out here at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's been a fun time. Thanks to the staff here at Buffalo Wild Wings. We always have great service here. Clap it up for the people here at Wild Wings, the staff. We thankful and appreciate all our winners. Also, to our promo staff, as Osita and company, they do their thing and very, very helpful for us getting the show on the road. Thanks to our engineer, Matt, who's done a great job keeping us on the air through multiple headphones, through acts of engineer God. He has kept us on the air as well on YouTube and Twitch. Somebody don't give my mom another drink now, man. She's in there getting a little excited, right? You can see it in her eyes. Teresa, they're about to turn the corner, Tyler. She's got that look that you have in your eye when you're about to go over there for that next whiskey and diet that just jumps right over to the next level.
Atta girl, Teresa. Let's party.
Got that look in her eye. But no, we appreciate everybody here. Also, Tyler back at the station holding it down. My man here, Clint, earlier, he's a staple here when we come out this way. He said he was looking for the box to put his name in the Onyx box to let everybody know. Tyler, should we get a petition stating, can 610 do a remote at the strip? How many signatures will we get on that bad boy?
I got a pretty good feeling that'd be the highest attendance.
Yeah, I think we do. We'll do really well at that one. Come hang out with us tomorrow as we will be at Little Woodrow's in Sugar Land tomorrow for a little football Friday to get you prepared even more for that big game coming up on Saturday, Clint. T-Mill's Best Bet's coming up here in just a bit, so stay tuned with us. He's been rolling pretty well. He's had a hell of a last 2 days. He's been 80% the last 2 days, so he's on a heater, so you want to make sure you listen and take note to make a little money from T-Mill here in just a bit. All right, Tyler, Bobby Sloy, he spoke, and maybe he hinted. I don't know if Bobby was just talking, Clint, but maybe Bobby Sloy hinted towards maybe a wrinkle that we haven't seen before, the Chiefs haven't seen a lot of, that could be a difference in this game for this offense. This is Bobby Sloy talking about his running back, Joe Mixon, and maybe multiple ways he could be used.
I think he's a really good receiver, actually. I know, you know, we worked it a lot in camp. Like, I'm sure all you guys saw that. We did a good amount of it in camp. We did some of it early in the year, you know, and I think as the year has gone, probably have gotten away from that a little bit. Wanted to make sure he was fresh for some of his carries. But without a question, that's something that's on my mind and been on my mind. Like, how can we make sure we make use of a guy that we think is an excellent player?
All right, that's him in the passing game. And that was a part that we thought we'd see a lot more of. And then we saw it, as he said, I remember him lining up just wide and running routes that way and haven't seen that a lot. Now, maybe that was the explanation. They're just trying to save the amount of carries and things of that nature because he was really their only guy in the backfield they trusted. But, Clint, this could be a wrinkle that could be a game changer. And when you look at the guys that they have out and maybe the lack of weaponry that they have on this team, that could be a wrinkle that changes at least something with this offense.
Yeah, this got me good and turned on, man. This is one of those where, for multiple reasons, like one, this is why I love the transparency of Bobby Sloy. Like, for one, I've been one every week with the exception of about 2 weeks this year where I'm like, why in the hell is Joe Mixon not lining up in the slot and catching the slant over the middle of the field? And if he's not, then they're taking it away. Well, somebody else is open, right? I mean, it's like I'm just pulling my hair out going, Joe Mixon can be more. You're playing him every damn snap anyway, right? So what are we doing here? That, to me, that gives you a little peek behind the curtain of, you know, at least whether you agree with it or not is irrelevant, but at least that is their reasoning is, man, they were asking him to do less so he could play more ultimately, which makes sense in the big scheme of things. So that helps me to understand the method of the madness throughout the year with Joe Mixon. And now it made it sound like Bobby Slowick said, yeah, man, I get it. Dude's a really good receiver, and we did a lot of it in training camp, and we had to get away from it because it's a long regular season and we were asking him to do too much. But now it's time to either win or go home, and it got me good and excited about, hey, man, we may see some more Joe Mixon in the pass game. And I'm not just talking about the running back screen game. I'm talking about out in a two-point stance in the slot or even out wide. And even if he's just running a little controlled hitch route, if the coverage bails off to take away Nico, boom, you're driving the ball to a running back that now has the run-after-catch abilities as good as anybody on your team. Really, the best run after catch ability being Joe Mixon, and so that got me good and excited about what this game plan could actually be about. Because whether it's just you're doing the best that you can with what's available, or you're looking for somebody that can counterpunch Nico Collins, Joe Mixon is a natural way to lean at that in that moment.
And I'll tell you what. I think this is a part of the offense in San Francisco we haven't seen yet, right? Because Bobby Slowick was there with Christian McCaffrey and what they did out of the backfield using their running backs in the run game. And to be honest, somebody who has watched all of the Chiefs games, a struggle for them has been covering backs out of the backfield. That has been a struggle for them. That has been there have been games where Cook from the Bills have been able to take advantage of that and make big plays over the years. Like I think they've got Nick Bolton's a really, really good linebacker for the Chiefs. He struggles in coverage at times. Drew Tranquil, pretty good. He struggles at times in coverage. So I think there's an argument that whether Joe is lined up as a receiver somewhere in the slot or wide or coming out of the backfield, that might be the best matchup. If they're flat doubling Nico, if they got McDuffie and a safety flat right there on Nico Hill, who knows? Maybe they may do what Texas did to that kid at Ohio State and just say, hey, we're just going to line three dudes up. Like, the Joe Mixon versus linebackers might be the second best, or if not, maybe the best matchup to get separation for CJ.
Well, I mean, not if you need another reason. Like for me, and I don't want to lean too much into the CJ Stroud legs and him running the football, because I think that some folks are getting carried away with that from a design run perspective. That to me, that's silly. But I do think there's something there of going empty, right, and putting Joe Mixon out there and throwing your quick game and having quick concepts, but at the same time, I think lightening the box up for C.J. Stroud and telling him, hey, if you get a five-man box and they're all expanded on our routes and they're taking things away, don't be afraid to put your foot in the ground and get north and south and see if you can't go get a first down. So it could be a way to lighten up the box to actually utilize or at least provide opportunities for C.J. Stroud to impact the game with his legs. So, look, I mean, we've sat right here on radio and given you about four or five reasons why Joe Mixon being more involved in the pass game is a huge plus for the Texans. We'll see if they get it done.
All right, let's see if they do. Coming up here in just a bit, right here on Sports Radio 610, we'll get to T Mills' best bets and Area 45. That's coming up next, that's coming up at 8 till midnight. Coming up behind us, John McClain will join Texans All Access. The fellas will hold it down. The general will give you their thoughts ahead of this divisional matchup coming up 6 to 8 behind us. And then, as I said, following that, Area 45 live 8 to midnight. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago, they will be next after the guys get going here on Texans All Access. All right, T T-Mill, big couple of days, Tuesday and Wednesday, four for five, 80% the last 2 days.
Hell yeah.
You knocked him out. You've been getting some pushes as well, so you've been making some good bets. What do you have tonight? What are your best bets this evening?
Yeah, man, what's that old saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we're sticking with NBA plays. Not as big a board tonight. Wasn't as much I liked comparatively to the last two nights. But I got four NBA wagers for you. Follow the heater. Three overs. First, Pacers-Pistons, first half, over 111. Next, I got Suns-Wizards, first half, over 113.5. Then the hometown team, the Rockets, as they face off with the Kings, over 224 in total for that game. And then one spread bet for you, the Cavs. Cavs plus +3 this evening as they travel to OKC to take on the Thunder. What you
That's
think?
Good. I'm seeing that at 2.5 now, so you got it at plus +3. Cavs got them the last time. This is a rematch of the two best records in the NBA. I'll go with that. They got him the last time, and their best player, Donovan Mitchell, didn't even play well. He had 11 points, and the Cavs beat him. It's in OKC, but I'm with you. I like that plus +3. I like the Cavs. They are like the Rockets right now. Both those teams are. They give a damn about winning every one of these games, and these games mean something to them. I also like that Rockets-Kings over 224. Looks like the Rockets are shooting the ball better and scoring better, so I like that.
What happened? You got off that Jalen Green over point bet, man. What happened?
Honestly, I meant to circle back and go look at that. That might be one I put in there, but I need to go back and look.
Go back and look and do your thing. Great time out here. Tomorrow again, we will be at Little Woodrow's in Sugar Land. Come on out, Football Friday, as we get you ready for this huge divisional matchup between the Houston Texans and the defending two-time champs, Kansas City Chiefs. Come out tomorrow as we'll have a good time. Sugarland, Little Woodrow's, brand new Little Woodrow's. So come join us. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. Text line here. Ronald said he about to be sad dog 816 on Monday.
Yeah,
love it. I know you got to tell yourself to believe that, and as you should.
Mahomes about to be 6-1 in this divisional round.
There you go. Got any more out there, Tyler? There we go.
Mahomes about to throw his first pick ever in the divisional round two, son.
Ever, baby. There it is.
Throw two of them, son.
Hey, why not two, man? How about three?
Oh, thank you. That is awesome.
Yeah. Timothy Frog here.
You can't ignore that guy. All right with me.